You are listening to Pastor Damon Moore, brought to you by City Place Church in Orlando, Florida. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com. Now, here's this week's message from Pastor Damon Moore.
Welcome to City Place Church and At the Movies. If this is your first time here, we are finishing up a series called At the Movies. This series is designed to be evangelistic in nature. And what we've done is we've taken some movies and we pull some things out of them that we're going to preach from. And so next week, we'll preach something different. I'm excited about next week. Already got some things that I'm landing on. But this week's movie is one of my favorite movies. Now, don't judge us because we're not showing a movie. We're just preaching differently. We're just going to tell a parable from today's perspective, and I promise you that if you take the ride with us, we'll have a little bit of fun. But can I create a little context? And while they do that, they'll turn up the lights a little bit, because on your seat you'll find some sermon notes. I want to give you some context of the focus of today's message. If you have your Bibles, go with me to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. We'll put it up on the screens if you need to. Exodus 33, verse 18. I'm going to read the verse, and then I'll give you context. And if this is your first time here, we'd like to have fun. We're going to laugh a little bit. If God says something to you, feel free to talk back. I don't mind. In fact, it makes it a little bit more fun with a little talk back. But here's what it says in Exodus 33. It says, "And Moses said, please show me your glory. Please show me your glory." Give you a little bit of context. In Exodus chapter 32, Moses has spent time with God, but when he comes down from his time with God, the people he was leading had created for themselves golden images because they wondered if Moses ever was going to come back. So they found Moses' brother Aaron and said, "Will you please build us an image that we can worship?" You trending with me so far? This is the same God that had delivered them from 400 plus years of bondage, had gotten them to the place of safety and provision along the way. And the moment Moses is not there to lead them into God's presence, they said, "We need to find a better option." You trending with me? So Moses comes down from the mountain and he finds this people who were worshiping the God who had delivered them. Now they have turned their attention to an image that had done nothing for them. How many times have we started off serving the God that had done something for us only to turn our attention to the thing that brings us nothing? That's not even part of my message. But it's a thought because I've got to create the context of the verse that I read. So Moses has come down. He spent time with God. God has given them the framework and the systematic approach to get the people to land and to sit and to remain in the promise that God had declared to them. Moses comes down only to find that these million people have turned their attention to God and are now worshiping something that could give them nothing. Moses gets frustrated. Said, "I am tired." This is what Moses said. This is not me. Moses said, "I am tired of these stiff-necked people." I'm from Washington, D.C. You may have been here when I've said that. This is how my father would say it. "These are some trifling folk." That's what my dad would say because he's from D.C. "These are some trifling folk." Here's what that means. Is that God has done so much, and in the minute that he seems to be silent, you were never in this anyway. You were only in it for what you could get. I wonder how many times we're in it for what we can get versus what we can give. Just another thought, not in the message. So Moses gets frustrated and he has this dialogue with God. And he gets so real with God because he's pulling these people to a promised land that God's shown them. He is standing in the gap for them, going to God for them. God is showing up on their behalf. Moses is frustrated because they ask for water, hits a rock. They ask for a shade. God gives them a cloud. They need light at night. He gives them fire. They want food. God sends it from heaven. He opens up the water. He delivers them with money, with goods, with cattle, with clothes. They don't need anything. Their shoes aren't wearing out, but they find one reason why the God that they were serving wasn't good enough. Moses gets frustrated. I'm tired of taking religious people from point A to point B. God, they get frustrated with you because they haven't found their own relationship with you. They keep following me because I carry the presence of God. They don't want you by yourself. I am tired of taking a group of people to the places where you be, and they don't want to go deep enough to get into the place where you exist. They're just riding the coattail of the glory of God that delivered them, wanting something from your hand only, never wanting to see your face. So Moses says this in 33. He says, if you want me to lead this group of people, I need to sit them aside for the moment. I need to know that I have found favor with you. Show me your glory. I am pouring out over here. I'm giving all I can, but now I need something for me. Have you ever been in a place where you're pouring out and you just need God to give you something for you? This is that message. The context of Exodus 33 is Moses is having a real life conversation with God. And he says, surely there has to be more than just your hands. There has to be more than just what I do every day. There has to be a place in you that I have never found. Show me your glory. When you look up the word glory, it means the splendor, the reverence, the honor due his name, the high quality of his person, the characteristics of who he is. It's the discovery of the fullness of who he is. Are you with me? So when Moses says, show me your glory, he's not asking for some sort of miraculous event. He's asking God to show him who he really is. So this morning, I don't know how we'll link all this together with the movie that I've chosen, but it will be for the Heavenly Father. This morning, our movie that we're going to jump into is Nacho Libre. Now watch. Oh, listen. But I need you throughout this whole message to think about, watch now, Exodus 33, verse 18. Please show me your glory. We're going to laugh a little bit. We will be serious. The movie will be funny. But I need you to focus on this verse. Please show me your glory. Please do not let me preach you a good message and we leave here starving for his presence, but not hungry enough to chase after him on our own. Welcome to At the Movies. Don't you want a little taste of the glory? See what it tastes like? Y'all were wondering where the clip was going, didn't you? See, there are two types of glory. You will find it on your sermon notes. Two types of glory. Your glory and God's glory. The clip shows that there's a guy by the name of Nacho. That becomes his luchador name. And from the time he was young to the time that we catch up with him in this movie, he's longing for more. He's longing for more because he feels stuck in a place that is called a rut. He works the same job day in and day out. He feels like there's more, but the glimpse of his eye has nothing really to do with God's presence and more about what he wants. I don't know if you can think back to the clip to where Chancho comes out and he says, I love your food. And this is what he says. He says, Chancho, I am the one who figures out and plans my own destiny, and I will have my own glory in the sun. There are two types of glory. Mine and the one that we're talking about as the foundational verse. Remember, I asked y'all to think about that. So the question when he found Skeleto was, aren't you getting tired of getting dirt kicked in your face? Don't you want a little taste of the glory? Can I ask you, aren't you tired of being in the same rut, chasing the same thing, knowing that there's more? Wouldn't you want a little taste of the glory? Moses is tired of dealing with the same people who want nothing to do with the person of who Jesus is, want nothing to do with who God is. And Moses says, I'm tired of that. I want a taste of the glory. I don't want, I see what happens when the people themselves chase after their own glory. They create things that bring them nothing. Exodus 32. Exodus 33, Moses says, I've seen the results of me chasing after my own thing because I've watched them do it. Don't want that. I want a taste of your glory. I don't need mine. Two types of glory. There's yours and there's his. Don't you want a little taste of the glory? To see what it tastes like? If you've been in church for a long time, if this is your first time here, welcome. There are some really super spiritual people in the building, and there's some of us who are elementary. You're fine. You're in the perfect place. Those of us who've been in God long enough, we've been walking with God, can I tell you, you still need a little taste of the glory. For those of you who walked in here for the very first time, you need a little taste of the glory to see what it tastes like. The glory of God will keep us coming back for more. The time we turn our head is the time when we chase ours. Because we forget about who he has been and focus on the thing that gives us nothing. Are you here? I wrote this down. I thought about this because sometimes I get a little frustrated with me. I asked myself this question, what would happen if my life became his temple? Like, if I didn't have to search for him, what if I really let me be the place of his glory? I think it's harder to turn my attention away from him if I realize that I'm the place where he resides. Are you with me? In fact, I'll prove it to you that you don't have to look very far. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20 says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and it's not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. See, I can go after my own glory, or I can say, God, you dwell in me, and I'm going to give you glory right now. It's my glory, or it's his. Don't you want a little taste of the glory? To see what it tastes like. Because there have been times when I'm in God's presence and it's just me and him. Is that all? Or is there more? Because sometimes as people who are followers of Christ, we can be comfortable with one level and feel like it was the mountaintop. But surely we can show up the next day and say, I want a little taste of the glory to see what it tastes like, because I was there yesterday, and today it's Wednesday. And then we could come on Thursday and say, I need a little taste of the glory to see what it tastes like on a Thursday. And then after you get through the month of April, it's the month of May. I want to see what the glory in May tastes like. I know it's elementary, but that's just my thought. I wrote this down. We can, write this down, it's in the blanks. We can see, give, and experience the glory of God. We can see, give, and experience the glory of God, or we can live in our glory. We can see, we can give, and we can experience the glory of God, or we can live in our own glory. That's Exodus 32. Versus Exodus 33 when Moses is calling out. Let me give you some verses. Psalms 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. So the heavens show off the glory of God. So when you look at heaven or when you're looking up in the sky, you can see his craftsmanship. See, all around you is the glory of God. And Psalm says, just look up. Oh, wow. The God that I serve is amazing. I've never seen a cloud fall. Or rain stop, like just, I've never seen the sun not shine. So the splendor of God is amazing. All I have to do is to refocus myself and go, oh, the heavens are already declaring how good you are. So I can see it. Now, Psalms 29:1 says, give unto the Lord, O mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. So I can see it, but then I should give it. God based on what I've seen.
Oh, my goodness, you're the creator of everything.
So I see it, and then I give it to him because I can see it. The trees, we can walk outside. Thank you for the trees. What? You mean to tell me you created one tree back in the day, and they're still growing? Wow. So I can give him glory based on what I see. Are you with me? I'm not even giving him glory based on what he's done for me yet. I'm giving him glory based on what heaven has declared. So just based on what heaven has declared, I can thank you for the pond in my neighborhood. Thank you for the water. Like, there's so much that I can give God glory for before I ever get to me. Are you with me? What I'm telling us is that we can taste the glory to see what it tastes like because it's all around us. What would happen if my body became all that he said that it was, the temple of the Holy Spirit? Then I wouldn't have to chase after the thing that gives me nothing because the glory of God is rolling with me. I'm taking advantage and seeing all of his goodness before I ever get to what he's done for me. But then I can experience the glory of God. So here's the question before I show you this next clip. What glory am I chasing? Because the shiny things will always cause me to lose my pursuit. See, the shiny thing will always cause us to lose our pursuit. He started off wanting more. He wanted a little taste of the glory. But he started chasing the shiny thing. Because when you watch the movie, this nun moves in and he gets attracted to the nun. He's working in a place that he feels like there's more, but he gets attracted to the nun. And then he's starting to listen to his friend make suggestions. Instead of chasing after the glory, he starts following the shiny thing because, remember, he said, I will have my own day of glory in the sun. So now everything that he's chasing is pulling him further away from what he really longs for. And so he's finding this shiny object, and he's listening to people make dumb suggestions that get him hurt. And then he looks at his friend and he says, I looked like a fool last night. The reason why he looked like a fool was because he didn't know what he was chasing. I wonder how many times we've looked like a fool last night. Because instead of focusing on the presence of God, we started focusing on the thing that could do nothing for us. I looked like a fool last night. So I wrote down some things that make us look like fools. And you'll find it on your sermon notes. Here's how, when we look like a fool. In fact, if you'd like to say, I look like a fool last night. Come on, can you say that with me? I look like a fool last night. I hope people on the podcast can hear that. But think about this. Think about this. Think about this. Watch. You and I look like fools when we're contentious. We just gonna be frustrated for no reason. You looking like a fool last night. I don't know about you, but there have been times when I've been like, sometimes I tell Taisha, you should handle this one because I'm gonna look like a fool. And so she'd be like, tag in, I got this. But there have been other times when I just go at it on my own and she's like, what was that for? I don't know, they cut me off in the popcorn line. They knew I was standing there, they cut in front of me. She's like, if you read Proverbs, it talks about the contentious person and how they look like a fool. You look like a fool when you say, it's all about me. It's all about me. I'll have my day in the glory. Well, yeah, that's why you got punched in the face, man. Because it was all about you. You went for the shiny thing. You lost sight of your pursuit, man. When we say it's all about me, you're not chasing after his glory. You want yours. When we say, I wrote this. I look like a fool when I speak nonsense. Sometimes we say stuff that God's not in. Foolishness. Proverbs chapter 17. We look like a fool when we listen to nonsense. So here's what I'll do. I'll invite some of my friends. And we will attack you, smile. And we will let you win. Oh, okay. Well, these two dudes must be the guys that they recruited. Wrong? You look like a fool last night because you speak nonsense. Listen to nonsense. I look like a fool when I can't obey. Proverbs 15:5. I look like a fool when I can't obey because, again, it goes back to it's about me. I look like a fool when I say it doesn't apply to me. When I say that's good for them, but not for me. I look like a fool. I look like a fool, Proverbs 14:8, when I'm deceitful. I look like a fool, Proverbs 1:7, when I'm unteachable. I look like a fool, according to Proverbs 12:16, when my mom says this, by the way, just so y'all know, and she does listen, so got you, Mom. When I tell it like it T.I. is, I'm just going to give them a little piece of my mind because they deserve it. God ain't in it. You look like a fool that time. It doesn't require that sometimes. And in Proverbs 13:20, I look like a fool when I hang with fools. So that list I just gave you, check your friends. Stop tolerating foolish behavior. It pulls you from your pursuit of his glory, and it's yours. Are you with me? Somebody say amen. Amen. Or ouch. Or a little taste of the glory. See what it tastes like. I realize that there's and I want you to read it. There is a guy in the Bible who started off chasing the glory of God, but then decided to chase his own. His name is Saul. Those characteristics of I look like a fool last night, I want you to read it. Watch in 1 Samuel 13, 9 through 13 when you get home. Because you're going to find the first king of Israel. Dun, 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 dun. Head and shoulders above the rest, the Bible says. Samuel anoints him king, and Saul decides, it's all about my glory. Watch the response of Samuel. He's like, why would you do such a foolish thing? And because you chase after the shiny object, you have lost the kingdom forever. Man, I would hate to be outside of my promise because I chased the shiny thing. I wrote this. Tasting the glory of God will require my presence in his presence. Tasting the glory of God will require my presence in his presence. It's hard to get the glory of God standing on the outside of his presence. I can ask all day long, but when you read Exodus 33, Moses steps into God's presence because when he asked the question, God says, meet me in the morning. I'm going to come and pick you up. I've saved a spot, but you got to read it. I'm putting it in basically kids' church lingo. But he says, meet me in the morning. You and I will hang out. He says, I'm going to show you all that I am. He said, you can't see my face, but my glory you will experience. I wonder what will happen if you and I step into his presence because we long for his presence. See, when Nacho went back to God's house, a fresh fire was lit. Y'all saw the proof on the video. See, when we come into God's house, there is a fresh fire. He went in, watch now, he went in knowing that he had chased the wrong thing. He has a conversation with God in God's house. In God's house, he says, maybe I've been chasing the wrong thing. Maybe my pursuit was supposed to impact someone else. He says, maybe the work that I'm doing with wrestling is supposed to provide for these young people. In fact, I'm willing to shift my perspective. Because by the end of the clip, he doesn't say, I'm going to ride away for a little bit of my glory in the sun. He says, I'm going to wrestle the seven strongest men, and my heavenly Father will be with me. Change of perspective when you come into God's house. See, that's the reason why when we come together in God's house, we're going to leave with a fresh fire. We will pour out from our platform with worship, praise, and the word of God every single week. Your kids are being ministered to, prayed for every single week. You will be hugged. You will be welcomed. You will be welcomed home when you come into City Place Church every single week. Because when you leave, we want you to be so much on fire that the people around you will be like, can you stop, drop, and roll? Because when you come into God's house, there will be fresh fire. Now, here's the thing. The fresh fire of God will uncover things that need to be uncovered. The hidden things will be exposed in God's presence. Just to let you know, the things that you share with us, we're not going to get up here and say, just want you to know that Johnny did this. No, no, no. In God's presence is where God will cause the fire to come and expose things in your life that you don't want to deal with anymore. He will change your perspective. He will change your pursuit to realize that it's not about your glory, but it's about his glory so that it can benefit somebody else. Are you with me? The presence of God will create a fire in you. You already saw it. The clip proved it. It will uncover things that are hidden. It's the presence of God. So I have two places where I can go. I have the house of God, but then I also have my temple. So I come here on the weekend. Can I just tell you this? Right now, here's the stats for churchgoers. And I'm not picking on anybody. 1 in 4 weeks out of every month, people come to God's house, no matter which church you go to. 1 in 4 weeks, every month. When I was a kid, my parents were like, we're going to every service. But watch. The Bible says that there is to be a premium on the saints gathering together. There has to be a premium on God's house. So I want to tell you that God's house should be priority in our life. Why? Fresh fire. But then there's the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's you. There should be a premium on God meeting you in your house because you're there. Meeting you on your job because you're there. Because the Spirit of God lives in you. So we have God's house when we all come together. The church is not this building. The church is you. And it's 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 you. When we come together, we have a congregation of churches. And the Bible says that the gates of hell cannot prevail against his church. That's you. So I have us coming together as a congregation, and then me and my house, there is guaranteed victory if I make sure that he resides there. Don't you want a little taste of the glory to see what it tastes like? Don't we want to discover what we haven't yet? Is what we have right now in God enough? Or am I thinking it's enough because I'm in my own glory? Because I tell God when we've had enough time together. I tell God when it's okay for me to meet him. I wonder if the reason why I'm comfortable is because I'm in my own glory versus focusing on his. Because if I wake up in the morning and I might be tired and fatigued and I look outside and say, oh my goodness, the sun's out there. To you be the glory. Because I see it, I can give it, and I can experience it. That's where Exodus 33:18 comes in. Moses says, I see it. I've given it. I'm pushing that aside. I want to experience it for me. Now, I have one more clip for you, but I'm actually not going to show it. Jorge, can you come? Worship team, can you come? Because here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a moment with the Lord where we can take his glory with us. I have my notes, and I'm like, come on. And then we're not going to do that. We're going to leave here with a starter kit for his presence. It has nothing to do with me and all to do with whether you're going to leave him here at City Place on the weekend or you're going to take him with you by yourself. I'm going to move myself out of the way. Because if I don't, then me just finishing this part of the message will be Damon stepping in for what I have on my notes. But if I allow us to have just a moment with you, Lord Jesus, maybe we can leave going, I'm coming to God's house. Light a fire in me. Do what Damon can't do from the platform. And let me leave here with a taste of his glory. Are you with me?
Thanks for joining us today. If you are in the Central Florida area, we'd love to meet you. Join us on Sundays in Southeast Orlando at City Place Church. Information on service times and directions can be found online at cityplacechurch.com.